Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors.
Online at sportingjournalradio.com.
All right, welcome to the show. I'm Brett Amundson. This is the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors, Sporting Journal Radio. We'll get a fishing report from Lake of the Woods from Joe Henry. We'll also go over to Devil's Lake and check in with Lucas Mertens. We'll talk perch, walleyes, and probably waterfowl up there as well right now, since it was a pretty big week for migration. Midweek push was pretty big with that weather that we had. So we'll talk waterfowl on this week's show a little bit too with Lucas Mertens. And we'll also talk deer hunting, of course, too. We try to cover it all here on the radio show, heard across the Sporting Journal Radio Network on 28 stations across Minnesota, Wisconsin, and the Dakotas. Also online at sportingjournalradio.com and by subscribing to the podcast in iTunes and the various podcast player apps and devices and subscriptions that you can get across the interwebs. Show is brought to you by Haybale Heights Campground and Resort on Devil's Lake. They're gearing up for ice fishing. It's not that far away. And they've got a fleet of snow bears that keep you mobile to chase the perch around Devil's Lake. So those famous perch on legendary Devil's Lake, chase them in a swarm-heated mobile snow bear at Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. Check out haybaleheights.com. For more details. Also brought to you by Fond du Lac and the Sturgeon Spectacular, taking place on Lake Winnebago February 5th through the 10th. FDL.com/SS gets you more information about planning your trip. Now, you missed the deadline for the tag to get a tag to spear sturgeon, but events for the whole family. It's even if you don't go over there to spear, I've gone over there and never had a tag, and just had a great time because there's events for the whole family on and off the ice, live music, shows, fishing. You can just get a fishing license and go do some fishing over there as well. That's fdl.com/SS, the Sturgeon Spectacular in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. It's also brought to you by Lake of the Woods Tourism. Rainy River Fall Fishing had been on fire this fall, and now they're starting to gear up for ice fishing as well up on Lake of the Woods. Joe Henry will join us later in the show to give us an update, or you can get a fishing report anytime at lakeofthewoodsmn.com. Sporting Journal Radio is also brought to you by Prairie Sportsman. The new episodes of Prairie Sportsman coming on Pioneer Public TV starting January 27th. Or you can tune in and watch Prairie Sportsman on the various public broadcasting channels across the state of Minnesota, across North Dakota, across most of South Dakota, into Wisconsin and Iowa as well. Find out more at prairiesportsman.org. Our first guest is a guide in the Brainerd Lakes area, but he's a little bit further north this week as he's spending most of his time in a deer stand, hoping to see some deer. Jamie Dittman joins us on the show once again. Jamie, how would you rate the deer season so far?
I should be up with Joe Henry fishing for walleyes on Rainy River.
Well, we all should be, let's be honest.
Yes, very slow here. Our camp and a few of the neighboring camps, we got a couple bucks hanging, but you know, normally I sit in the deer stand and take pictures of small bucks and some does and fawns, and I've only seen like a doe and a fawn a day. It's pretty slim.
And you pretty much stay up there all week.
Yep, hunt all week. You know, went around the other night visiting neighbor camps, and they had about the same luck. And tried some new territory yesterday, a bunch of public ground that nobody's on, and didn't cut any new trails or nothing. So we got snow now, so we got 3 inches of snow up here, so that's good, but it's hanging in the trees so bad it's tough walking because you can't see in very far.
Oh, really? Well, that's interesting. So it's a heavy, wet snow up there.
Yeah, it's just hanging. Once this wind blows it out of the trees, it's going to be amazing because the ponds froze last night and we got cold. It's going to be 6 degrees tomorrow, so.
Six?
Sorry. In the morning, said. Six.
I thought you said six.
Six, and that's Fahrenheit. That's not Celsius like our Canadian friends.
Oh, boy. Well, yeah. Right. Well, I shouldn't be surprised. I guess we're into November now. It's hard to get mad at single-digit temperatures in November. I'm just, you know, with the waterfowl push that we got, with so much of the, you know, flooded corn and some of those wet spots in the fields, those are all going to freeze up, and it's going to concentrate the birds, but it's going to concentrate them on those big water areas, which could be good if you're able to hunt around some of those big staging areas. But if you are hunting some of the smaller flooded areas, your hunting might be over for the season.
Yeah, and you know, yesterday, even if you're a deer hunter, I mean, it was pretty cool to watch the goose migration yesterday. It was amazing all day.
Yeah, we're recording this on Thursday, so Wednesday was the day he's talking about. And I did spend all day long in the heated underground pit next to Lac Parle Refuge with Mid-Migration Outfitters. And we shot our birds in the morning, and then we did sit all day, and we watched, I mean, I don't know how many thousands of geese. It was just a constant stream of Canada geese, big Canada geese, little Canada geese, and then mallards. Saw flocks of divers flying over. Saw tons of swans flying over, and yep. Actually saw a couple flocks of sandhill cranes flying down the lake at Lac Parle, which I'm sure it's happened, and I'm sure, I only heard a couple of them, so I'm sure they do it. Maybe they do it every year, but that's the first time I've seen cranes flying down the Lac Parle, Minnesota River down there. I guess with the population growing as much as it is, I shouldn't be surprised about that either. But it was interesting to see everything that migrates. I think I even heard a golden eye, which usually signals, near the end of the season or even after the season, but it usually signals cold weather. And it might be time to go chase some of those golden eyes around too.
I did go check out one of my duck ponds yesterday. I used to hunt, and there was some golden eyes on it. So.
Oh, really? That was a golden eye then.
They could all be lost, because the way these animals are getting lost nowadays, I don't know.
Yeah, right. You sent me something on Facebook earlier this week about a caribou in Montana.
Yeah, they got a sighting of, I think, a cow and a calf, and then miles away, they got another sighting of a bull. So it's not just one.
Well, those.
And then we got an elk running around up here. So
yeah, let's back up to the caribou for just a minute, because woodland caribou, they used to be in the States. Quite regularly, quite frequently. They're kind of a roaming animal, so is it surprising that they'd start making their way back down, do you think? Or
I don't know. 2 years ago, there was one spotted at the northwest angle.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Yep, up on Lake of the Woods. There was a cow spotted out between the islands.
Oh, no kidding. Wow.
I got a photo of it, yep.
Wow, that's crazy. So, and
that's got to be a 10-hour. I mean, they're driving, what are they, 10 hours north? So that's a ways up there, normally.
Yeah. I mean, I can do that. Piece of cake. I could do that jogging backwards with my eyes closed, but
on a fat tire bike, right?
Jamie Dimon, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio, talking about deer hunting and then also some weird animal sightings. And you said there was an elk. Where was this elk spotted?
The elk's running around here just south of Park Rapids.
Really?
It's been on trail cameras. A guy here, I believe Sunday, was sitting in his deer stand and heard something and grabbed his phone and videotaped a big 6x6 bull elk running by his deer stand.
That's crazy. I wonder, and we do have elk up in northwestern Minnesota. It's a little bit further north than Park Rapids normally is where you find them. But we had an elk hit a car, or a car hit an elk, I guess. Maybe the other way around. The elk probably hit the car, let's be honest.
If he was in rut, you never know.
Right. By Hutch, and totally demolished the car. It's kind of weird that there was an elk down there. I've heard of an elk sighting out here by western Minnesota, where I'm at, by Montevideo and Lac Parle. We see moose. It seems like at least once a year there's a moose sighting down here. And I'm wondering, with the increased use of cell phone cameras, if these are new sightings, if these animals are actually roaming this much, or if they've always been doing it. But when old Bob Smith down on the corner says, "Oh, yeah, I saw a bull moose there by Worthington, hey." And you go, "Yeah, okay, Bob, go back." And
let's go back to the bar.
Maybe he was right. Maybe it's been happening. But now that there's proof, maybe we're actually going to see Bigfoot, and it's not going to be a blurry picture here soon. Maybe these things have always, you think these things have always been happening, or is it an increase, animals just moving around more?
Well, I think, animals move, because of building pressure, cities build and animals move out and food goes away and animals move. And I think with the huge increase in the wolf populations, the further north you go, the more they are. Eventually, if you get sick of running for your life every day, you're like, "I'm moving, put the house for sale, we're going to go try some new area."
Yeah, that's...
So I think, the predator pressure, even in Montana, you can get spots where we mule deer hunted, and 2 years ago, and now there's not a deer there, and the farmers say they shot 200 coyotes last winter on one property.
Oh, really? Wow.
They just, I think predator pressure moves them too.
Well, coyotes are definitely a problem, and so are wolves, of course. And it's funny, on the Sporting Journal Radio Facebook page, find us on Facebook, Sporting Journal Radio, I posted the results from the opening weekend in Minnesota, the deer harvest numbers from the Minnesota DNR from opening weekend, and numbers were down, and people were surprised a little bit because I think the forecast for this year's deer season was generally a positive one. I think I don't think anybody thought it was going to be ridiculously good, but I think people were fairly optimistic about this deer season.
In
Minnesota, and in 2018, this is through November 4th, the preliminary deer harvest in Minnesota. In zone 100, which is up in the northeastern part of the state, they harvested 18,800 deer as compared to about 24,000 deer. So you're a few thousand less up in the northeast. In zone 200, which is primarily western Minnesota, central and western Minnesota, they harvested 40,000 deer as compared to 45,000 last year. That's 5,000 fewer deer this year. And then down in the 300, down in the southeast, they are just about 600 deer fewer down in that zone, 3,285 versus 3,890 from last year. So overall, about 11,000 or so fewer deer harvested this year in Minnesota as compared to last year, opening gun deer season. Jamie, after sitting in the woods, you're not really surprised by hearing about that, are you?
No, and, you know, the talk, you know, going to the cafe and stuff here and talking to all the people, and everybody's wondering, you know, why we're in the middle of 200 and why we have a two-deer area here, and half mile north of us we have a three-deer area, and there's just no – everybody's wondering why is that. There's – nobody's even seeing enough deer to fill two tags.
Well, were you seeing – was anybody seeing deer before the season? I mean, could it be – could opening weekend?
Some, you know, everybody said it was pretty average deer, you know, deer around here and there, hit by cars, you know, on trail cameras, but really nothing to warrant two and three deer harvest. And we had this years ago where they made it five deer and everybody killed a bunch of deer because there's gazillions of deer, and the next 5 years we suffered for it.
Right. So when you say you can shoot multiple deer, are they does, bucks, hunter choice? What is it up there?
We're hunter's choice and a bonus tag. And then in the park just north of us is a buck, and then you can shoot two more does. Or hunter's choice and then two more does. But the park, they have kind of our thoughts up here on the park is they don't want any deer in the park. They don't like the deer eating the pine trees they plant and everything else. And they've had it three to five deer for the past so many years. Like on the road that borders Itasca, we used to see in 10 miles, there was 15 to 20 trucks in the ditches deer hunting. And I did drive through there the other day, and there was one truck. So people have kind of even switched spots because their old spot where they sat for years just weren't seeing anything.
So do you think that maybe the DNR, this isn't a knock on the DNR or anything, but do you think they actually maybe bent to hunter pressure a little bit and said, all right, you want multiple tags, fine, we'll give you the chance to shoot multiple deer even if the deer aren't there? Or do you think that they just thought there was more deer out there?
You know, it's hard to say, but it's gonna, you know, if people do, you know, want deer on a slow year, we're gonna pay for it later. But the park is kind of separate from that. And I just don't think they want a lot of deer in there because it's...
Jamie Dittman, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio. I want to take a quick break, but when I come back, we'll talk more deer, and we can even talk a little bit of fishing too. Coming up, plus fishing reports from Devil's Lake from Lucas Mertens at Haybale Heights Campground and Resort, and we'll check in with Joe Henry too from Lake of the Woods as well.
Hey, anglers! Looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the northwest angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskies. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
The Sturgeon Spectacular is coming to Lake Winnebago as Fond du Lac celebrates this prehistoric fish with events for the whole family on and off the ice February 5th through the 10th. This unique opportunity to spear a sturgeon is unlike anything else in the world. But it's not just about that. Come for the fish, stay for the fun. Live music, the World Ice and Snow Sailing Championship, the Wisconsin Snow Sculpting Competition, and more. Visit fdl.com/ss for more information.
That's FDL.com/SS.
No matter how cold, no matter how much snow there is, the perch don't stand a chance.
Fish legendary Devil's Lake for their famous jumbo perch and walleye in the warm comfort of a snow bear at Haybale Heights Campground and Resort. Fishing for perch requires mobility, and you can't get more mobile than a fish house with tracks. The snow bear fleet is on the ice every day at Haybale Heights, and you could be too. Every winter requires a trip to Devil's Lake, and there's no better way to do it than in a snow bear at Haybale Heights. Visit HayBaleHeights.com to book your trip today. Sporting Journal Radio is brought to you in part by Pioneer Public Television, producer of Prairie Sportsman with myself, Brett Amundson. Prairie Sportsman celebrates our love of the outdoors as we hunt, fish, and recreate while working to protect our valuable natural resources. Tune in to watch Prairie Sportsman on PBS stations throughout Minnesota and North Dakota, or watch the show online at prairiesportsman.com. And you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat. Search for Prairie Sportsman. We're back, Sporting Journal Radio. Thanks for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio Network, online, sportingjournalradio.com, and by subscribing to the podcast and your podcast player. Find us on Facebook and keep up. We got funny videos on there, interesting stories, stats like the DNR releasing their preliminary deer harvest numbers from the opening weekend. You can see a link to that. And then you can see the responses from people. I asked, what did you think in the woods? What did you see out there? How has it been? And for the most part, it sounds like reports were fairly negative. Some people were complaining about wolves, of course. And then a few people did say they saw tons of deer. Sounds like central Minnesota, this Blake Besser said he saw four guys in their party saw over 75 deer in 2 days. Bucks were chasing does hard. It looks like they shot a couple of nice bucks. I know I saw a few really nice deer get taken this week so far in western Minnesota, and I've seen a few deer. In fact, I was driving around, I was going pheasant hunting, and I was pheasant hunting some public areas, and I saw deer just walking throughout the day, like they hadn't been pressured at all by deer hunters, and I was kind of surprised at that. And I've been planning on bow hunting, so I didn't buy a gun tag this year. So if I would had a gun tag, I'd have meat in the freezer right now, for sure. But Jamie, maybe you're just hunting in the wrong part of the state.
And I asked that too. I know I checked, people around me with nothing. So I called a few people, 10, 20, 30 miles away. And I talked to the game warden up here, actually. And they hunt about 20 miles east of me. And they had deer running all over. So it's... I don't know how much of the state it is. I know there's a lot of bad areas this year.
So maybe it's time to move your stand, Jamie. I'm just saying.
You can't move the land.
No, that's true. Jamie.
But we normally have good deer because we have, close to 400 acres, and it's not bow hunted. It's not pressured. The first people in there are Saturday morning. So normally we have deer walking around, and a few of the kids can shoot whatever they want, but most of us just go for something big. So it's not like we're chasing everything around. So it's kind of shocking.
Well, my buddy Jason Markla from Bank Brewing, Rooster Lager, Beer for Wildlife, he deer hunts up in your area up there too. And I think he saw a couple of fawns last week, and that's all that they saw up there. I think maybe a couple of guys maybe had a crack at a deer, but he saw very few as well too. So maybe that area is struggling a little bit.
It must be. We'll have to figure it out. And I am not a fan of wolves at all either, but I'm not seeing any wolf sign since I've been here.
Oh, really?
And I haven't seen a ton on the trail cameras. So
you have a lot of bear up there, don't you?
Actually, the neighbor, which is about 400 yards down the driveway from me, he had a ton of bears on his trail cameras this fall. I just talked to a guy that had one on his trail camera on Sunday or Monday. So, and I know they'll do damage in the spring.
Right. Well, maybe it's time to increase the bear tags around Park Rapids.
Around the whole state.
Yeah, well, there is that. Jamie Dimon, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio. He's deer hunting up in the Park Rapids area. He's also a fishing guide in the Brainerd Lakes area. I know, obviously, we had a cold snap, and a lot of this with the, now a single digits coming, a lot of the smaller bodies of water are starting to ice over a little bit, especially in northern Minnesota. We're seeing the smaller sloughs getting a skim of ice on them down here in western Minnesota. Is anybody braving the cold and jumping in the boat anymore?
Yeah, Rainy River's been just awesome. You're still seeing boats go north. It's best it's been in 10 years. I talked to Greg up there, and he said, you should be here. you know, but for me, I'm getting ready for ice. I got the new fish house put together, and Tammy said a couple times this week, Santa came with packages of ice fishing stuff. So
nice. Yeah.
You just get those texts that say, what did you order now?
Well, I dumped the boat in. We filmed some stuff for Prairie Sportsman this week out on Lac Parle, and I dumped the boat in the water just to do some filming and drive around. And we did some duck hunting. And I'll tell you what, you know, I got a 20-year-old motor on that boat. It's nothing fancy or anything, but she started, but it took a lot of pulls to get that motor running this week.
But the one thing with those old motors in this cold weather, they're fast.
Everything was moving fast. This week, just trying to get out of the water. I was pretty nervous about the plug freezing in, actually, because we were filming an episode of Prairie Sportsman on aquatic invasive species, and they wanted to, you know, do a segment on duck hunters and what they should be aware of when they pull their boats out of the water. So it's, you know, the clean, drain, and dry, and all that stuff, and check your anchor line, check your decoy weights, and pull all that out. Watch for snails and stuff like that. And I was like, I talked to the camera guy. I'm like, hey, let's just film me taking the plug in and out of my boat before I dump it in the water, just in case I dump that thing in the water and I can't get the plug back out and it freezes in there. And so we did, but thankfully I didn't have it in the water long enough, and it wasn't cold enough. It didn't freeze in, but I thought that'd be pretty funny if we were filming something on AIS prevention and I'm supposed to clean, drain, and dry my boat, and I can't, sorry.
You don't carry ice chisel in your boat?
I can't get the plug out of my boat.
Sure. I'm kind of already excited for next year, cause we'll have the new river boat and we can go on the Mississippi and chase smallmouth and muskies, and that's only 9 months away.
Yeah, right. All right, Jamie. Well, good luck there this weekend, deer hunting. I hope you get something, and thanks for being on Sporting Journal Radio.
Sounds good. Have a good one.
Lucas Mertens with the Devil's Lake Report coming up. He's with Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort, and Joe Henry from Lake of the Woods as well.
The Sturgeon Spectacular is coming to Lake Winnebago as Fond du Lac celebrates this prehistoric fish with events for the whole family on and off the ice February 5th through the 10th. This unique opportunity to spear a sturgeon is unlike anything else in the world. But it's not just about that. Come for the fish, stay for the fun. Live music, the World Ice and Snow Sailing Championship, the Wisconsin Snow Sculpting Competition, and more. Visit FDL.com/SS for more information. That's FDL.com/SS.
No matter how cold, no matter how much snow there is, the perch don't stand a chance.
Fish legendary Devil's Lake for their famous jumbo perch and walleye in the warm comfort of a snow bear at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Fishing for perch requires mobility, and you can't get more mobile than a fish house with tracks. The snow bear fleet is on the ice every day at Hay Bale Heights, and you could be too. Every winter requires a trip to Devil's Lake, and there's no better way to do it than in a snow bear at Hay Bale Heights. Visit haybaleheights.com to book your trip today. Sporting Journal Radio is brought to you in part by Pioneer Public Television, producer of Prairie Sportsman with myself, Brett Amundson. Prairie Sportsman celebrates our love of the outdoors as we hunt, fish, and recreate while working to protect our valuable natural resources. Tune in to watch Prairie Sportsman on PBS stations throughout Minnesota and North Dakota, or watch the show online at prairiesportsman.com. And you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat. Search for Prairie Sportsman.
Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskies. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
We are back on Sporting Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors. I'm Brett Amundson. Thank you for tuning in across the Sporting Journal Radio Network by subscribing to the podcast in their various podcast players or iTunes, and of course by listening on demand at sportingjournalradio.com. Make sure you follow us on Facebook for interesting news, videos, pictures, stats, DNR news. We got the latest DNR harvest numbers released, 11,000 deer or so fewer taken on opening weekend of the gun deer season this year as compared to last. How did you do? Post in the comments at the Sporting Journal Radio Facebook page. Now we're going to kind of talk fishing with Joe Henry here from Lake of the Woods Tourism. We'll talk Lake of the Woods. But Joe, did you get your deer last weekend?
Well, I'm not going to be one of those people posting because I didn't get a deer. Not yet.
Well, honestly, a lot of people that did post didn't get a deer. And they were They were venting their frustrations a little bit.
Well, Facebook is a good place to do that for some, I guess. But, you know,
for a lot, I think.
No, you know, I'll tell you, I hunt in central Minnesota, and I hunt a hardwood forest on some public land. And I go to an area that's a funnel. You know, I got water on both sides of me. So if the deer are coming from either direction, they have to come through there unless they're going to swim, which they prefer not to, obviously. And, you know, I saw some deer, but this year, Brett, you know, normally where I have where I put my stand up, the deer come at me down this funnel. And for whatever reason this year, 90% of the deer came, you know, from behind me. And I'll tell you something that really messed me up because, you know, if you're sitting in a tree stand, I'm right-handed, try to shoot over your right shoulder.
Yeah.
You can't do it, you know, and they come through and they get into that, they come through a thicket, they get in that hardwood forest. And, you know, if the wind was blowing wrong, so they could either wind me or they can see me up in that tree. It's not real, real thick right where I hunt. And, you know, so this year didn't work out. I saw probably 10 deer altogether. I passed up on a few small ones that were yearlings. And I could have had them, but I just thought, gosh, first weekend. And I'm hopefully going to get out this weekend again and see if I can get, you know, and I'll take a doe now, of course, or whatever I can get just to get some venison in the freezer.
Joe, you need rear view mirrors, side mirrors up on that deer stand.
Well, I tell you, you know, normally I'm pretty darn good about not getting detected and stuff. And, you know, with the deer coming from behind me and me not being able to turn and get a shot on them, you know, you can see them coming from a long ways away. It sure is nice to, when their head goes behind a tree, to raise your gun up and get in position so that at some point in time, if they lock into you, you can take them, you know.
So much easier to look forward, and we're starting to look forward to ice fishing. See what I did there?
Transition master, I tell
you. I'm a trained professional, ladies and gentlemen. Joe Henry, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio, Lake of the Woods Tourism. And right now is that transition time up at Lake of the Woods, right? Some of the areas up there, especially the smaller bodies of water, are probably freezing over, Joe.
Yeah, they are. In fact, some of our bays, I'm looking and seeing some posts from our resorts on Facebook, and you know, I know Bostic Creek, and which is the bay, Bostic Bay, that goes through the Morris Point Gap, and some other areas up there, backwaters are locked up with ice right now. And it was 18 degrees this morning, and it's recording on Thursday morning. But you know, it is. It's just starting, and you know, a couple of our resorts actually do some spearing back in the bays, so they're going to be out here. I mean, I bet they're going to be out next week, if not earlier. And you know, traditionally, and every year is different, obviously, because of weather, but traditionally, resorts will start putting their permanent day houses out, not their sleepers, but the day houses, right around December 10th is a kind of the norm. So that means before that, you know, people will be able to take ATVs and collapsible fish houses out to catch those walleyes. And man, I got to tell you, the first part of the year in Lake of the Woods is normally just lights out and, you know, fishing's good all year, but those fish get scattered so you don't get the bigger schools is what happens.
I like ice fishing. I'm not 100% sure I'm ready for it yet, Joe.
Yeah, I know. It's coming early. You know, you think about it, though, by the time, you know, give it another week, for a lot of people, deer hunting's going to be over. Some people will still muzzleload and do some late bow hunting. But for the most part, most are putting, you know, hunting in the rearview mirror and looking forward to ice fishing. And, you know, ice fishing shows are starting up now. And, you know, you get different shows that have popped up here in addition to the St. Paul Ice, which is the biggie. And so it's coming. You know, that St. Paul Ice Show is coming up November 30th, and it's right around the corner, and that's really, you know, it's coming. I'll tell you this, Brett, it's really interesting to see, you know, there's always things behind the scenes that people don't know unless you're part of it. And to watch what the resorts do, like at this time of year, building fish houses, taking fish houses out of inventory, making sure they're ice transportation rigs, whether it's a light ice rig with a people hauler trailer or a bombardier or a track rig, you know, making sure that those are all maintained and fired up, ready to roll. I mean, there's so many things to get ready. And then on top of it, you know, once we get just a little bit of ice, these resorters will be out on that thinner ice, checking conditions, marking the best ice for trails, initial trails. It's amazing what they do. They use chainsaws with they put marks on them, 1-inch, 2-inch, 3-inch, 4-inch, and they can just take that chainsaw and stick it down in the ice quick. And then when they start spitting water, they can see where in that bar the ice level is, and that's how they measure ice quickly when they're on the move. And sometimes flooding areas to build it up. Sometimes they're going to be making a route around some bad ice if it blew up on top of each other from wind. I mean, there's so many things that happen this time of the year that make ice fishing possible for folks early season.
Joe Henry, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio, talking Lake of the Woods. Joe, the Rainy River was so good this fall. And I was talking to Jamie Dittman about it before you were on, and he talks about how good it's been this year, and it's usually very good, but how much better it seems like it's been this year, and how that could be a good mean for a good spring on the Rainy River as well. But what do those walleyes do? They all move into the river to chase the shiners, whatever. But do they move back out? Could that early ice right near the Rainy River be really good fishing this year?
It will be good. Yeah. You know, it is every year. That early ice is really good fishing, you know, and, you know, as a rule, you know, you talk to people like, well, you want to go and catch a pile of walleyes, go up in December at Lake of the Woods. I mean, it's just a go-to time. And what happens is this, here's what we think happens is that there's a pile of fish right now that are staged out in front of the Lighthouse Gap, which is where the Rainy River meets the Lake of the Woods, out in front of Morris Point Gap, and then at strategic locations along the whole south shore. They're out there. I mean, we got people fishing the lake as we speak, and they're catching walleyes, good numbers of them. That combined with the big population of walleyes that moved up the Rainy River this fall, and why were there so many walleyes in the river? Well, you know what? First off, there were shiners there, but there were shiners there last year too. And last year we had a good bite. It wasn't as good as this year. You know, the other thing though is that we have there's been a lot of water pushing out of that river. And I think that water, you get so much water pushing out this fall, there was a lot of current, that pushes out into that lake, and those walleyes can detect that and smell it, and they go towards it, I think. And that's a guess, but that's my guess on probably why there are more walleyes this year. That's only a guess. But I'll tell you what will happen is that the ice season progresses. Anglers will be picking away at those fish that are out in front of the south shore. On top of it, a good percentage of the walleyes that are in the river will start making their way back to the lake under that ice. So then you're going to have a kind of a constant surge of walleyes coming from the river back into the lake. And then, of course, some walleyes will remain in the river, we believe, all winter.
You're getting me excited about ice fishing now, Joe. And that, you know, and it, oh, yeah. we kind of alluded to it earlier in the interview, but I struggle with early ice time, because I am still trying to hold on to hunting, and I'm out there pheasant hunting or I'm bow hunting. But realistically, I mean, that early ice, if you can get safe ice up there, you know, good, usable, walkable, hunt, fishable ice, you really should be out there fishing.
That's right. And you know, the one thing I'll tell you is this, work through a resort.
Yeah.
And the reason I'm telling you that is because they're marking the trails. They're marking the trails with stakes. Do not deviate from the trail. Don't go blazing off on your own. Don't, you know, stay in the trails. If you stay in the trails and follow the instructions of the resorts, they're going to keep you safe. You know, they're not going to let you out there if they don't think that ice is suitable for travel. And some people get frustrated. They want to bring their sleeper fish house out. Ah, heck, there's X amount of inches of ice. A lot of times the resorts will say, nope, absolutely not. Right now it's our light ice rigs, or it's maybe ATV traffic only or snowmobile traffic only. But they're doing that to keep people safe. Say the resorts err on safety, they err on being conservative, and you know, follow their lead. Everybody's going to get a chance to get out and get fish.
Yeah.
But yes, there are some we're so far north, you know, up in the Canadian border, and that's going to not only lead to early ice, but you got to remember, we also fish all the way. I mean, walleye season there is open through April 14th. And our fish houses can stay on the ice overnight through the whole month of March. That gives us almost a whole month on the front end more, and almost a whole month on the back end more.
All right. Well, I'm ready to do some ice fishing, Joe. You've convinced me. If people want to plan a trip this winter for Lake of the Woods, where should they go to find out more information?
Check out our Lake of the Woods Tourism Facebook page, or check out our website. And the web address is lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
We're going to talk elk hunting and perch fishing next with Lucas Mertens from Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort on Sporting Journal Radio.
No matter how cold, no matter how much snow there is, the perch don't stand a chance.
Fish legendary Devil's Lake for their famous jumbo perch and walleye in the warm comfort of a snow bear at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort. Fishing for perch requires mobility, and you can't get more mobile than a fish house with tracks. The snow bear fleet is on the ice every day at Hay Bale Heights, and you could be too. Every winter requires a trip to Devil's Lake, and there's no better way to do it
than in a snow bear at Hay Bale Heights. Visit haybaleheights.com to book your trip today. The Sturgeon Spectacular is coming to Lake Winnebago as Fond du Lac celebrates this prehistoric fish with events for the whole family on and off the ice February 5th through the 10th. This unique opportunity to spear a sturgeon is unlike anything else in the world. But it's not just about that. Come for the fish, stay for the fun. Live music, the World Ice and Snow Sailing Championship, the Wisconsin Snow Sculpting Competition, and more. February 5th through the 10th in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. Visit FDL.com for more information. That's FDL.com.
Hey, anglers, looking for a destination where walleyes, fresh air, and fish fries are a way of life? Look no further than the famous waters of Lake of the Woods. From Bedette and the Rainy River to the main lake up to the Northwest Angle. Here, you'll enjoy the best walleye catch rate in the state. Maybe you'll pursue world-class sturgeon, pike, or muskies. Plus, you'll find lots of full-service resorts offering charter boats, delicious meals, and lots of Minnesota nice. Come experience the walleye capital of the world. Come experience Lake of the Woods. Catch the details at lakeofthewoodsmn.com.
Sporting Journal Radio is brought to you in part by Pioneer Public Television, producer of Prairie Sportsman with myself, Brett Amundson. Prairie Sportsman celebrates our love of the outdoors as we hunt, fish, and recreate while working to protect our valuable natural resources. Tune in to watch Prairie Sportsman on PBS stations throughout Minnesota and North Dakota, or watch the show online at prairiesportsman.com. And you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and Snapchat. Search for Prairie Sportsman.
You're listening to Sporting Journal Radio.
This is the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors, Sporting Journal Radio, heard across the Sporting Journal Radio Network, online, sportingjournalradio.com, and by subscribing to the podcast in your favorite podcast player. Find us on Facebook as well, Sporting Journal Radio. My name is Brett Amundson, and we're transitioning into the winter, and that means the snow bears are getting worked on to make sure they're ready to go when that ice is ready for them up at Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort on Devil's Lake. Lucas Mertens joining us here on the show. Lucas, how's it going in the shop there?
Going good. Just like you said, we're checking over the snow bears, changing oil, making sure everything is in tip-top shape. We've got some cold weather here, 14 degrees as we speak, so it's not too far away.
Yeah, you know, earlier this week, some of the smaller ponds and bodies of water and like the flooded fields and things like that skimmed over. We had a huge push of waterfall come through midweek, and I'm assuming you saw some migration up there on Devil's Lake this week as well?
Oh, yeah. There was a lot of birds around. There still is. You can tell they're starting to push out of here, though, with some of the smaller bodies of water freezing over. If you look up in the sky, there's a lot of birds headed south today.
Well, since I'm further south of you, I'm not complaining about that.
All right. Well, yeah.
I feel bad for you guys up there, but, you know, it's definitely been a big push. We've been waiting for a big pile of birds to show up, and we got into the mallards pretty good this week and shot some Canada geese too and saw some of the smaller migrating geese finally move through. So it's not over yet for you guys up there, obviously. In the big lake, it'll take a while for that to freeze over yet, won't it?
Oh yeah, you got to get real cold and real calm for a good week there to get that big lake to go down. I did hear a rumor that some of the smaller feeder lakes, like Irvin and stuff, have frozen over. I'm sure there's not nearly enough ice to be out there, you know, even walking. But it's a start. We're probably ahead of where we've been the last few years.
Well, and this weather has gotten the deer start to move a little bit. I've been hearing a little bit more activity. Have you done any hunting yet?
I think maybe the cold weather's got them going a little bit earlier than normal. But other than that, yeah, fall is exiting and winter is on the way.
Yeah, I'm not ready for it yet, Lucas. I know a lot of your business is ice fishing, but I want to get a little bit more fall in. Now, Lucas Mertens, our guest, Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort, Devil's Lake, North Dakota. And I didn't get a trip to go elk hunting. I didn't get to shoot a big elk this year, so I still want a little bit more fall hunting yet.
Oh, yeah. I ended up drawing a tag out in Wyoming. So we went out there in early part of October, and we had a really good time. We shot some really nice bulls and hunted some really rugged country. And that was just a really good experience. Something different to do.
I bet. Now, had you ever elk hunted out there in Wyoming before?
No, I never been to Wyoming. I did a self-guided hunt in Arizona about 8 years ago, but this was only my second elk hunt. And I couldn't have been happier.
Yeah, yeah, you got a nice bull. And what was the process like as far as getting a tag? Was it a lottery? Was it expensive? How was the process getting out there?
Well, we went through an outfitter, so they took care of most of that. It's a draw tag, but they had some preference points built up. And so we drew tags, and we had it on out there, and it was kind of an extreme hunt. We were in a spike camp, no electricity, no water. Mules was our mode of transportation.
Cool.
And we did, yeah, I was getting back on the horse there. And you were just out amongst the elk and the grizzly bears. A lot of grizzly bears out that in that area. We didn't have any encounters, but we definitely knew they were there. We did see one the last day, but we didn't have any encounters, which was good.
Wow, that'd be crazy. I've spent a little bit of time in the mountains, but not much. I haven't done much hunting out there, and to be able to, you know, be in the same woods as grizzly bears. I've been binge watching Meat Eater a lot lately, Lucas, and Steve Rinella showed a tree that a grizzly bear had been working over, and I don't know how tall Steve is. I'm assuming he seems like a fairly tallish guy, but where this grizzly bear was reaching to scratch this tree was so much higher than where he was. It's just amazing how big those animals are.
Yeah, they're huge. One of the days we were early in the morning, we were crawled way up on this rock kind of ledge, and it had been really frosty, and we were laying against rocks that didn't have any frost on them because the grizzly bears had been laying there in the last few hours.
Oh boy.
So we were on point that morning, that's for sure.
Wow. So did you see many elk while you were out there?
Yeah, the numbers of elk were really good. I would say probably 20 to 30 elk on average. Some days we've seen more. I think maybe we've seen 60 the one day, which was the most. A lot of really nice bulls, though. We've seen six bulls that were over 350 inches, you know, just rough scoring them.
Sure.
Wow. We ended up getting two bulls. One was right at around 350, and the other one was right around 320. So
nice. Well, so is it, I mean, you don't always think of Wyoming being a destination state for elk hunting. Is it a popular place? Is it hard to draw a tag there, you think?
Well, being that we went through the outfitter, that took care of the draw part fairly easy.
Oh, sure.
But no, there wasn't a lot of hunters where we were, because we were in a wilderness area, so there was no motorized vehicles. That's why we were on the mules. They don't even let you have chainsaws in there to cut your firewood.
Mm.
So everything that was that we burned for firewood for heat was all hand chopped. So that eliminated quite a few of the people. Yeah, we were just kind of out there by ourselves. But in general, there's a lot of people that elk hunt in Wyoming, that's for sure.
Did you see any deer or antelope while you're out there?
On the way out there, we've seen a lot of mule deer, a lot of antelope along the highways. When we were up hunting, we've seen not as many deer, but we did see some whitetails and some mule deer. Kind of down a little bit lower towards the river bottoms, you would see a few deer. I didn't see any deer way up high. We were hunting right around 10,500 to 11,000 feet. So it was just bears and elk up there.
Hmm. And how long did you stay out there?
We were there for about 5-6 days. I think I shot my bull on day five. So the whole process took about a week.
Now, did you see other elk and say, that's a nice, I'd be happy shooting that animal, but it's too early in the trip. Let's see if we can find a bigger one.
Yeah, we did pass on quite a few elk for sure. So we were being selective, and we were hunting hard. That's for sure. It was probably the hardest hunt that I've ever done, physical wise, and mentally too. You had to kind of get yourself psyched up for doing what you were doing.
What was it like up at those higher altitudes? Was the air a little bit thinner?
It was thin. It didn't seem to bother me a whole lot. In my younger days, I used to snowmobile quite a bit out in Wyoming and Montana, and the elevation never seemed to bother me. Other than I was probably in better shape, you know, 10 years ago than I was this trip, but
we all were.
I did quite a bit of, just training and trying to be in as best shape as I could be. And, it certainly paid off. I mean, I could keep up with the guide and that greatly increased my chances.
Who'd you go out there with?
The name of the outfit, it was called Wyoming Wilderness Outfitters. They've been in the business a long time, and they do a fantastic job.
Hey, go out there with some friends or your dad? Or
I went out with an uncle. Yep, so it was a family trip. There was just two of us.
Cool. And then how was the weather? I'm assuming like a wall tent type situation, or what'd you guys stay in?
Yeah, we were in wall tents with a wood fire stove. I suppose it was getting down to about 15 to 20 at night. And it was warming up to around 32, 35. We got some snow, a little bit of snow each day, but it was nothing that, you know, was a huge storm, a blizzard, or anything like that. So all in all, the weather was pretty nice for us.
Lucas Mertens, our guest, Sporting Journal Radio, Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort, recounting his elk trip to Wyoming, a successful elk trip to Wyoming. So this winter in the Snow Bears, Lucas, you going to have elk burgers for your clients?
I suppose we could have a little sampling at the lodge in the mornings or in the evenings there.
Elk is delicious. I'm jealous. You know, earlier in the show we had Jamie Dittman on, and he had a successful elk trip to Montana earlier this year, and they shot a bunch of mule deer too. And so he's like, you want to have elk burgers or venison steaks, you let me know whenever, because I've got tons of it, and it's all delicious. And of course those snow bears are the way to go in the wintertime. You're getting them ready. It's nice to have when you're chasing those perch around on Devil's Lake, isn't it, Lucas?
That's right. You're going to fish in comfort. We're going to move to try to stay on them fish or to find them. And guys who try it, you know, a lot of guys don't quite understand what the snow bear is, but once they've been in them, they kind of realize that, hey, that's the way to chase those perch. We got to be mobile, and we got to be able to be out there in the elements, because let's face it, you know, it's wintertime in North Dakota and the wind blows and it's cold, and we all know what it's like setting up a portable hut or trying to move a big house if the snow is deep or if the wind's blowing. So definitely the snow bear is the way to go if you want to be active and really try to beat up on those fish.
I'll tell you what, the best testimonial is I wasn't real excited when I went up there and fished out them. It was the first time I'd fished out of a snow bear up there at Hay Bale Heights, Lucas, and it was like 47 below zero or something like that. And we fished in one of these snow bears in a t-shirt. You basically don't ever have to get out of it for the most part. So you fish inside of it, it's on tracks, you drill holes. When you want to move to a new spot, you lift up off the ice and you drive to a new spot, you drill new holes and fish. And if people want to come out there and ice fish this winter out of a snow bear at Hay Bale Heights, what can they do to get more information?
Well, they can call me direct, 701-351-3130. They can look at our Facebook page, or they can go to our website, haybaleheights.com.
All right, thanks to Lake of the Woods Tourism, Hay Bale Heights Campground and Resort, Prairie Sportsman, and Fond du Lac Sturgeon Spectacular. You've been listening to Sporting Journal Radio, the Midwest's radio home for the outdoors. To listen to the show again, go to sportingjournalradio.com or download the podcast in your podcast app or iTunes. Find us on Facebook. Search for Sporting Journal Radio.